If we look behind tab number 9, you'll find the information on the sector committee. We have a summary of the two meetings we've held. We've held a couple meetings, one in the 22nd of February and the other 29th of March. And we've tried to summarize that in the an April 4th memo to the council. I'll just go over a little bit of the background, what we were, what we've been doing over those two meetings. First meeting, as you would anticipate, was try to take a look at the overview with all the direction provided to us by the Magnuson and the council. I mean, we were duly blessed with moving ahead in some direction. Fortunately, the service did provide good input to us. Jane was there to help us with the legal input. George was also there to help out with various interpretations. So it was, I think that was helpful to all of us. We took a look at the Magnuson language. We recognize that various things are evolving as far as interpretation. The service, I think, is wrestling with a number of areas to provide some further guidance to councils on what it all mean. But in general, we were, I think the areas that we were concerned about, Gene was able to help us out, and that was a lot of it focused around what was a limited access privilege program and who gets to pay. That was certainly seemed like an interesting one to discuss. And Gene pointed out how, I'm trying to make sure I get the distinction correct here. You can, if you qualify as a regional fishery association, you may not be an LAPP. If you want further interpretation of what and how that is, Gene is here to ask of that, and I'm sure he'd be happy to go over it. We then took a look at the terms of reference that the council provided to us, and after a review of those, we decided to tackle the definitions. That's a Freudian slip. The definition of a sector first, and as you could see from our memo on April 4th or the minutes of the 22nd of February meeting, we spent considerable time coming up with what a definition for a sector. And because we wanted to be very thorough in doing that whole thing, we came up with two definitions. One is a little bit broader than the other. One looks at granting a specified fishing privilege. And another one looks at granting a TAC. There's a diversity of opinion on what is going to really control a sector amongst the committee members. And so what we decided to do was we're not recommending anything to the council at this particular time. What we're doing is using these as working definitions for us to develop an alternative that would serve as our guidance to the species committees for them to develop sectors in their own FMPs. We opted to try to do one rather than do a diversity at the same time. We wanted to try to get through one of these first so that we could then see how we could broaden it or narrow it accordingly. So our goal is to work through the other issues that the council had provided to us, and as you have discussions, other things crop up, as you can well imagine. And ultimately, I would hope at our next meeting, council meeting, we would be able to provide to you an overall position for the council to take a look at and see what that position is for guidance to these species committees for the FMPs. At that time, I think it's probably be a healthy discussion by the council. Do we continue to develop an amendment as directed by the council? And that means develop other alternatives associated with the these alternatives so that, you know, people can have a choice at public hearings. Or do you adopt this as a policy and then amend the various plans as time allows? So it's a, and we've had that type of discussion, I think, just yesterday as far as what's the most timely way of doing this. And I think that that'll probably be a good discussion by the council at the next meeting, provided we can get everything done. In my memo of 4 April, you can see where we tackled various things, primarily allocation and mortality control. We were, I don't know if I need to go through each one of these. They are in front of you as far as what we've decided to do, and if there are questions, I certainly can go over the laws. But we have made headway with those particular ones, which are fairly complex, but I think we've made pretty good headway on that. We have a couple of more areas to look at. Certainly the Magnuson requirements dealing with the cost recovery standards, we have not tried to tackle that yet. That's, I think, one of the last things we want to do. Looking at the size of the sectors and also the monitoring and reporting and review requirements of sectors, as well as should we be concerned about capacity and excess capacity when a sector is formed? What happens with the boats and crews if a sector is formed and they have it narrowed down to just a few boats operational for that particular species? So those are the things we're going to tackle at our next meeting. That's going to be held on the 26th of April. And again, I would hope that we would be able to have a full fleshed out alternative for the council to take a look at the June meeting. So if there's questions, I'd be happy to try to answer those.
Paul?
John, isn't it critical to whether the sector is determined to be a LAPP or not will be dependent on how we define it? And don't we need to wait till the final guidance on Magnuson is out to better define it to meet our needs, whether we want it to be an LAPP or not? How are we going to work with the service to determine whether sectors are LAPPs and how to best define them based on what policy we'll go forward with?
Yeah, well, Gene is here, and I think maybe he's got a better handle on the status of where the service is. But as I mentioned, the service is trying to provide additional guidance on this, and the timing of when that guidance comes forward is not clear. We have a timeline that the council has told us to finish this work in. Our determination was we needed to move ahead with what we felt the definition of a sector was. The service staff, I think, was very helpful in guiding us with terminology to perhaps be in sync with what they ultimately will come up with because of legal constraints. And if anyone else wants to chip in on that, I certainly welcome other interpretations of that. Because I'm looking at Gene, but no
one. Gene ain't looking
back. All right. Having said that, does that answer your question, Paul? I think we've come up with, and the fact that we've come up with two definitions shows that there is certainly a lot of diversity of opinion out there. Ultimately, what our hope is that once we've fleshed out the rest of this alternative, and I commend the committee for making a really great headway at our last meeting, I think we'll be able to go back and revisit and see if we can revise and make a recommendation to the council as far as a definition.
Yeah, my feeling is that we really can't approve a definition or, you know, do any final action on an amendment until we have the guidelines so we know whether we're creating an LAPP or not and whether there are permitting requirements. And do we really want to create an LAPP or do we want to continue with a non-standard approach? So I think we have to wait for the guidelines.
Well, and that may be true. And I think that that insight will come about over a little bit more period of time. I don't have a sense of when that guidance will come to us. But I think that when we understand that if you were dealing with a regional fishing association, and if ours can be interpreted that way, it probably would not be considered an LAPP. And then it's dealing with administrative cost recovery rather than an increased cost burden to that group. So if we can craft it in that type of language, we may be very safe as far as what we want to do.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if you necessarily have to wait. There are certain things that are clearly LAPs and others that aren't. It just depends on how close to the definitions and provisions in the reauthorized act you are and what you adopt. I mean, the question isn't so much whether a sector is an LAP. I mean, LAP is a permit. You know, it's not a group. It's a permit to harvest a quantity of fish. And you have certain restrictions that on LAPPs that you can't issue an initial LAP to a regional fishery association. That regional fishery association has to be made up of individual members or fishers that have been allocated themselves an LAP. But after that group is formed with a group of people that have been issued the LAPs, then the RFA can act as a permit holder, in essence, of LAPs. So it's, you know, the questions have to do with our sectors, regional fisheries associations, and are they bound by the restrictions for setting up an LAP? But, you know, depending on how you go on this, it's some things are can be fairly clearly determined by the reauthorization, whereas other things may be more nebulous depending on how far they vary from the actual definitions and provisions.
You've explained just the dilemma why we have to wait for the guidelines. Could be this or could be that. So we will want to see what the guidelines are because it has huge implications
for
our sectors.
Yeah, I think the guidelines may be helpful, but I don't think they're going to be that much more clear in defining what you want to do with sectors here. I think, but that's up to the council whether they want to wait or not.
Anyone else? Dave Preble.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. It became evident to us when we were trying to work out a definition. It was very frustrating to try to work out a definition. It became evident that we were in some ways putting the cart before the horse, and that more important than the guidance from NIMS was to get the terms of reference straightened out so that we knew what the sector was supposed to do, and then revisit the definition at a later time and firm it up and make whatever changes needed to be made. So I don't think that we're going to be able to come up with a definition at this earlier point in the process. Thank you.
Dave Gaethel.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. My concern here is to another subject, and that's our fourth term of reference here, which allows sector formation to go forward while this amendment is proceeding. And it really became pretty evident to me yesterday that people are just coming in and throwing things on the table ad hoc here. And I'm concerned if we continue to allow this, absent finishing this amendment, that we're going to end up with a hodgepodge of sectors with different aspects to them. And then at some point, we're going to have to reconcile all of them, which seems like a huge amount of work. What I'm really worried about is moving baselines here. And specifically this idea that somebody comes in and says, well, I want to form a sector, and these are the 5 years I want to use to get my allocation. And somebody else comes and uses five different years. And, you know, from where I sit, we're going to end up giving out 120, 130% of the fish to 100% of the people. We're going to have more fish given out than we have fish because we're going to have different baselines and different groups of people have caught different things at different times. So I'm concerned. I'm not ready to say that we shouldn't allow any sectors to go forward at the moment, but I think that the council should be very aware and the people forming sectors should be considering forming sectors should be very aware that we're concerned about this issue. And I don't know if anybody else has any other, comments they want to make in regards to that. But personally, I would like to see this committee finish its work before we allow any more sectors to go forward.
And to that point, Dave, and to the council, I think the committee has been very sensitive to that fact. And I think that, our discussions over yesterday also reflect that the need to get our work done in as timely a fashion as possible. And certainly we, as we've looked at allocation, have kept in mind, how much, obviously, should you be allocating and how much should be held back for general fishing rights, if you would, versus distribution to sectors. So we've been tackling that, and hopefully our guidance is going to provide that type of insight to the various committees. I think that that's having the ability to look at a fleshed out alternative in June. It will be a good opportunity for the council to discuss how do we want to move ahead. If we've come up with something that looks like a solid way to provide guidance to these various committees, then it's up to the council to say, this is what we want to use for the future, and this is what all other folks that want to come in for sector formation would be using, and the committees would be evaluating it based on that. That I think, type of discussion we should certainly have in June.
Rip.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess I just to Dave Gaethel's point, since under Amendment 13 we have existing regulations concerning the formation of sectors under the groundfish fishery, and it would seem to me that that under those regulations, I'm not sure that we can, I don't want to say stop or the formation of sectors, and that they, if somebody comes forward with a sector and there are concerns about the baseline issues, that we should be using those baselines that we have currently used to establish the existing sectors. If at some point in time the omnibus sector amendment comes up with a different baseline, I mean, we may be faced with having to, go back and bring everybody to the same standard at some point in time, or maybe the omnibus sector committee comes up with exactly the same baselines, and from there, we end up at one. I understand your concern, but certainly I think those things can be dealt with, and the regulations are in place to allow people to form these sectors, at least in the groundfish fishery.
Paul Howard.
I think what Dave is mentioning that I think might be an issue for is that we've got two sectors with baselines now. Yet Amendment 13 says that if you create a, I think it says if you create a sector, you use the last 5 years. After 07. So you could potentially have, by our regulations, a sector with different baselines, which means you could add up to above 100% of the fish. And then of course, you'd have to prorate to get to 100%, but that's a very difficult and could be a very strange thing to do.
Sally?
Yeah, I think the question of baselines is something that the sector committee is going to have to wrestle with, and that the council will need to adopt a universal policy across all fisheries. I do think that we need to consider, and this is something that the committee has discussed, is that there are going to be different needs for different fisheries. Even within the scallop fishery, there are going to be different needs for if there's a desire for a sector in general category and sectors for currently the limited access portion of the fleet. There are going to be different rules that a sector committee is not going to be able to come up with something that's going to apply to two very different fleets. So I completely agree that the baseline issue is something that we need to have a council policy on that's going to cover all fisheries. But I also think that having the discussion about the different fisheries that are interested in pursuing sectors, whether it's in the scallop fishery like we were talking about yesterday, is important to have on a fishery-by-fishery basis and is not necessarily something that the sector committee is going to be able to hammer out. So I think we should encourage the species committees to allow that discussion to happen so that we can have an understanding about what the unique aspects are of the different fisheries so that we can develop policies specific to those fisheries rather than just having a one-size-fits-all, because that ultimately isn't going to work.
Anyone else? Okay. Anyone in the audience? Okay. Vito J.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Vito Calamo, Executive Director of the Massachusetts Fishery Recovery Commission. And listening about sectors, Mr. Chairman, the good, the bad, and the ugly. The perception of sectors is problematic at this time for the fishing industry, because just listening to you people is problematic. And they just hear bits and pieces. And I kind of go along with John and Dave Gaethel about maybe you should develop sectors, but kind of take it easy. Listen to your executive director. Take it easy till things are right. Do it right if you're going to develop sectors. Take a little more time and do it right. Maybe it's not the best thing. Maybe it is. But I think the precautionary approach at this time would benefit management and the fishermen. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Vito.
Vito, not Chair.
Vito Gigoni, Northeast Seafood Coalition. I'm glad Sally pointed that out. We agree. I hope that we've been attending the sector omnibus, committee meetings. We think that's a real good effort, but it's for a global type of definition across all the FMPs. And the discussion of allocation, which is a big one, and fixing baselines would need to be done on a fisheries specific basis through the groundfish committee, for instance, for this one. We certainly recognize a lot of open ends on and further development that needs to be done in the existing Amendment 13 provisions of sector. So we think that maybe a false sense of security that the omnibus committee is going to take care of these things that are fishery specific is a flaw. that we maybe need to, I'd love to see someone come forward and say, can we start to address some of the further development of the Amendment 13 provisions in sectors which we believe right now are not functioning to be applied on a broad basis. That, you know, broad use of sectors right now is going to have a serious issue like David brought up, and I think we need to have the Groundfish Committee deal with it as soon as possible, and the advisors.
Vito? Okay, back to the council. Anything else? Anything further, John?
No, that concludes my report, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Well, why don't we take a 10-minute, a healthy 10-minute break? I don't want to get too, I don't want to start groundfish.
I'd like to, based on talking with staff, I'd like to clarify or set the record straight on what I mentioned about sectors. If you have a sector that was established, say, 95 to 2000, they got a certain percentage of the TAC. And then if you have another sector that's 2000 to 2005, they would be working on landings that, say, the first sector had 20% of the cod. The second sector would be working on their percentage of 80% of the cod, so that you never can have over 100%. There's like sliding percentages available. But what does happen is if that same sector that was created 2000 to 2005 may have a greater percentage or less percentage of cod caught if they had had the sector in place at the same time frame, 95 to 2000. So you never go above 100%. We don't have to worry about that. But the percentage, depending on where you have your baseline, is the percentage of cod that the group would get. And it may be greater or less than if you have different baselines than what you'd get during the same baseline. But you never go over 100%.
Yeah, and if we do our job right, everyone will be on a uniform basis, no matter whether they have to have a revised basis or not for the future. So I think that's, I'm sure that'll be one of the guidelines that are going to be provided by the committee. And you also have to be looking at what allowance you take for or have for bycatch in other fisheries, and then if you still have folks that aren't in a sector, you know, the amount of percentage still available for them to fish on. So we've been wrestling with those. I think we're very cognizant of that, and hopefully we'll come forward with a certain amount of wisdom for the that the council will definitely embrace on in June.
Okay, thanks, Paul. So the 10 o'clock.